to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, our good buddy Doug Segrist joins us out of Birmingham. He is a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340. But right now, a chance to talk some NFL. Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. The website, pro32.ap.org. Barry, hope you're having a good week to this point. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Johnny, how are things?
Life is good. Thank you for asking. All right, so yesterday we were floating this idea out there. The Miami Dolphins moving on, and Tua Tagovailoa going to get the his first start coming up. And, you know, we're looking at the NFC East, and Zach had a theory about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, why not, as far as Dallas is concerned, find a way to maybe make a trade with the Miami Dolphins to bring Ryan Fitzpatrick to Dallas? Your thoughts?
Why would Miami do that unless Dallas offers maybe a second-round pick? There's no reason for Miami to do that. Tua has to prove he's healthy during game competition. Fitz has shown that he can do the job in Miami if they find that Tua is not ready. And to have a valuable backup for a team like Miami, which actually is in the playoff scenario right now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a long shot, and you just don't do that.
Well, and speaking of which, with that said, you know, why do you think, is it because of what Joe Burrow has done with Cincinnati and Justin Herbert with the Chargers? Why now with Miami, knowing they're only a game out of that seventh playoff spot, why now make this move? Is it because they believe in the upside with Tua Tagovailoa? Why would they make the move now?
Yes, the upside has a lot to do with it, and the fact that they had an extra week because of the bye, that they could get him ready with all the snaps and all the extra time to prepare in the film room and things like that. I think all of those things worked in the favor of making this move. And remember, the Dolphins had their bye week moved from November to October because of the rescheduling due to the pandemic. So I think this was the plan all along, but it would have been a few more weeks before it would have happened. And I think that they just decided to move it up. The one thing I would ask you, Johnny, is would you like to be the newbie quarterback on a team when you're facing Aaron Donald and the Rams?
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, that is not what you what the doctor ordered, that's for sure. You know, but one of the things, too, we look at this Dolphins team, and look, I like what Burrow and Justin Herbert have done to this point, and one of the things that when we think about Tua Tagovailoa and what he was able to do at Alabama, I mean, he makes good decisions, and, you know, he takes care of the football, and, you know, back to that point about the upside, you know, the Dolphins very much, you know, they're only a game behind the Colts as far as the seventh spot is concerned. But how about the fact that there's not a single team in the NFL that's allowed fewer points than the Dolphins? I mean, the Dolphins, as far as points allowed per game, they've only allowed 113 points in their six games this year.
The defense clearly has improved. And, you know, it improved last year under Flores, who's obviously a defensive coach. They've got some real talented players. You know, Xavier Howard might be one of the best cornerbacks in the league, and he certainly is a playmaker. He seems to get an interception every week. They've improved their linebacking core. They're getting a better pass rush than they've gotten, although it's still not what they want. The Dolphins are one of those teams that could be somewhere around 500. Now, will that be enough to get into the playoffs? I'd say in the NFC it definitely would not be. In the AFC, possibly.
I mean, we look at their losses. The Dolphins are 3-3. They lost to this was when Cam Newton and the Patriots were decent. They lost by 3 to Josh Allen and the Bills, and then they lost by 8 to the Seattle Seahawks. But, you know, since then, I mean, they went out onto the West Coast and destroyed San Francisco 43-17. But, you know, I watched the Rams last night. They look solid on both sides of the ball against the Bears. And I'm like you. I'm like, okay, of all the potential meetings, this would be the one where maybe they should have waited for just one more week.
again, because they were coming off the bye, I think that wasn't considered. And the Rams do come off a short week, and they have to make one of the longest trips across the country that you can in the NFL. But all of that said, at some point, Tua is going to have to face a really good team or a really good defense, although there isn't any such thing in the division that they play in right now. Even the Patriots' defense has got holes. So I guess it's, you know, a baptism under fire, and they're willing to try it in Miami.
Your thoughts about the game on Sunday, Pittsburgh jumping out to the 27-7 lead, the Titans with a chance to tie it there in the waning seconds with a 46-yard field goal. They miss it. But your thoughts on both of those teams, the similarities and differences as far as amongst the best in the AFC and those trying to be there?
I'll start with Pittsburgh, which is clearly the best team in the league right now. They're the only undefeated team, most balanced team I think we've seen out there. They are very resourceful, very resilient, and they showed that in that game where they could easily have blown a big lead. They did blow much of the big lead. Yet were able to hold on, and I think they were the better team in that game. That doesn't mean they'll be the better team the rest of the season. As for the Titans, they dug a big hole for themselves early on, and once again they showed how resourceful they can be. And I think the Titans can take a lot of positives out of that game in the way that they came back, in the way that even when they're far behind, they still can get Derrick Henry going to help them come back. Not that often that running games can help your team come back from big deficits, but they did some of that. There's some issues on defense, clearly, that need to be addressed, and they have time to do that. I think both teams should actually have positive outlooks coming out of that game.
Well, and I think that that's one of the things, too, as far as with the Tennessee Titans, the players were talking about it after the game and the fact that it was a good loss in the sense that, with finding ways to get W's week in and week out, it was kind of hiding some of the issues and masking some of their problems. And this gives them the opportunity to fully address those issues to improve moving forward, if you know what I mean.
And they should not look past this week, though. I expect them to beat Cincinnati. But the Bengals are an improving team each week, even though they haven't learned how to finish yet.
Right.
And I think that Joe Burrow is going to test them for sure.
Well, and that's the part, too. He's going to attempt probably 50 or so passes, if not more. And, when you think about this Titans secondary, because, they're still having issues getting a nice pass rush and putting pressure on opposing teams' quarterback, it does leave that secondary vulnerable. Still no Adoree Jackson. And, when you're attempting that many passes, when you're as accurate as Joe Burrow is, he is going to have some success against the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, plus, if they get Joe Mixon back, it would bolster what was a very weak running game against Cleveland in a game that, if the Bengals had the ball with some time left at the end, they would have won that game. That was one of those games whoever had the ball last with some time was going to win. So I wouldn't look past that team. Something you mentioned that Titans fans should be a bit concerned about is the team brings in a couple of pass rushers and not getting much of a production out of either one.
Yeah, we're waiting. You start to wonder, okay, when does that start to happen? And I think it goes back to remember, you don't just replace an Adoree Jackson. I mean, he was one of the 10 highest-rated cornerbacks last year in the league. And, when you miss somebody like that in the secondary, one of the ways to improve your pass rush is to have an improved secondary. Well, having no Adoree Jackson back there, it certainly hurts not only the secondary, but it also hurts with regards to your pass rush as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that, we've seen that with a bunch of teams around the league when they lose a top, whether it's a safety such as like a Jamal Adams with Seattle, or it's a cornerback who goes out. We've seen it have an effect on pass rushers.
Your thoughts so far, we've watched Joe Burrow, we've seen Justin Herbert as well. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be added to that mix coming up this weekend. But, you know, so far as with Burrow and Herbert, you know, it's fun. I mean, if you're a fan of the NFL, getting a chance to watch these new kids on the block, per se, as far as the new quarterback fraternity and just what they bring to the table. I mean, I had a chance to watch the fourth quarter of that Chargers-Jacksonville game on Sunday, and it was a delight just watching the decision-making from Justin Herbert, the rookie.
I agree with that to a point, because we also see some of the quarterbacks who are in their second or third years who are regressing. So while it really is fun to see not only how Burrow and Herbert are doing, and, you know, add to it to that at some point, and the rivalry that these guys may have as we move forward. I hate to bring this up, Johnny, but I have to every time I talk to you. You know, you see what's going on with, say, Sam Darnold in New York, and you see what's happening with Josh Allen, who's really taken some major steps back the last 3 weeks in Buffalo. And, you know, there's quite a few quarterbacks around the league that, you know, starting to get questioned whether they're the right guys.
Well, and why is that? Because, you know, we had that same situation happen here, remember, with Vince Young. You know, he took the league by storm early on, and then the league caught up with him. And to me, like in Vince Young's case, you know, just wasn't putting in the work necessary to keep making the adjustments to keep getting better and better. I've never had complete faith in Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, and so I'm not going to disagree with you there. And as far as with the Jets, I think it's just that culture, you know, with the Jets and with Sam Darnold. And, you know, for me, I have never been that person that's 100% sold on Sam Darnold being a franchise quarterback in the first place. But I don't know if you saw this earlier today, but Trevor Lawrence saying, you know, at this point, you know, the plans are to declare for the draft. However, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. And he's and so we go back to the Jets, you know, 1-15, hoping they had the opportunity to draft a Peyton Manning until Peyton decided to go back for one more year with Tennessee. And now here's Trevor Lawrence floating that possibility that not so fast, it's not a foregone conclusion that I'm declaring for the draft.
Yeah, well, you know, I always think it's a great idea if you're enjoying college to stay in college and keep playing and keep enjoying that kind of life. But then again, you're turning down millions of dollars for a year. So that, I guess, is part of the equation. But I also think that there's more than one team that Trevor Lawrence might be interested in avoiding. You know, Washington could be another destination that he could wind up at that he might not want to you know, be in. And, you know, you look at some of these teams at the bottom of the standings, if we're talking about quarterbacks, Minnesota, they've got all this money invested in Kirk Cousins, and they're really stuck with him for another year. It would just be too expensive to dump him. But you'd have to think that if they have a really fiasco of a season, that they'd be interested in grabbing a quarterback very high in the draft. Atlanta. You know, Matt Ryan would have tremendous value on the trading market. And again, his contract is a difficult thing to deal with, but it's nowhere near as bad as Cousins. So we've got a situation where we could see some more upheaval next year, regardless of where Trevor Lawrence winds up in the NFL.
And plus, Justin Fields starting to look really good, closing that gap. It could be Justin Fields instead of Trevor Lawrence for some of these teams making that decision. You know, time will tell. All right, before we let you go, remind everybody again what they can expect as far as pro32.ap.org.
It's a place to go to read about any team in the league, and we have some great stories about whether features or game stories or analyses, columns. Everything we do football-wise, pro football-wise, is on that website.
Hey, Barry, thank you again. Have an incredible rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Johnny.